Morning. I don't get the chance to get up here very often, so when I do, I have to make sure that I think very carefully about what I would like to tell everybody. I'm glad they got rid of that lamp that was right here that kept flashing. Very gracious of Robert to do that. The year is closing, and they go by so fast. And I wanted to make sure that whatever I told you all, you're blessed with me for 2 weeks, by the way. I wanted to make sure that whatever I told you all would be beneficial for you in the coming year, that it would be beneficial for this next year. And the main reason I'm going to speak about what I've chosen is because it's something that I struggle with personally. And so I think I have the authority to speak on that because I know that it's something that I struggle with. And so I've got a thesis statement. I've got a sentence that to sum it up. And my thesis is that in order to do what we have been called to do, we must believe in our own given identity. And I'll say that again. In order for us as Christians to be able to do what we have been called to do, we have to be able to believe in our own given identity. And there's two things about that thesis statement which I would like to explain. And the first is, what have we been called to do? If you would please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. What have we been called to do? 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20. It says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." What have we been called to do collectively as a congregation? It says here that it has been committed to us. It's our responsibility. It's been committed to us the message of reconciliation. It says that we are Christ's ambassadors. That's a pretty large title to uphold. And we're Christ's ambassadors. I want to name like a badge, Christ's ambassador. We're Christ's ambassadors. And it also says it's as if God were making his appeal through us. I wonder if we told ourselves that, if we reminded ourselves of that every morning when we woke up, how that would change our day. It's as if God is making his appeal through me today. And the other thing that we have to understand is, what is our given identity? Who are we? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Romans 6, 17 and 18 says, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." It's not a question of, are we slaves? We are slaves. But no longer are we slaves to sin. No longer are we in this bondage to sin. We're not in a situation that we're stuck in and can't get out of. We're free from the bondage of sin. But we are slaves to righteousness. So we're still slaves, but we're slaves to righteousness. So we know what we have been called to do, and we know what our given identity is, but there's a problem. And I noticed this problem first in myself. As a Christian, I tend to question the identity that Christ gave me. And as Christians, I believe we often question the identity that Christ gave us. We ask ourselves if we're slaves to righteousness or sin, when it clearly says here in Romans that we're free from sin. Why do I still ask myself this question if I truly am free from sin? Why at times am I not fully convinced that I'm free from sin? And I think we need to go to James to understand this better. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." You see, we have been freed from sin. We have been freed from the bondage of sin in our lives, but we haven't been freed from our evil desires. We still have evil desires. We still struggle with that. And those are what make us question our identity as Christians. Those are what make us question ourselves and say, well, am I truly free from sin? And my Uncle Bill gave me this example, and so I'm going to use it. Imagine if you were a patient in the ER. You got rushed to the ER, and you were in a car accident. And the ER doctor comes in, and you can just tell by the look on his face that he does not know what he's doing. He's an ER doctor who has no confidence in his ability to save a life. He has no confidence in the position that he holds as doctor, and he doesn't have confidence in himself. He questions who he is as a doctor. What would that patient do? What would you as the patient do? You wouldn't want to let him, you know, try and operate on you. You wouldn't believe in him. And it's the exact same way as Christians. If we don't believe in who Christ has made us, then others won't believe in Christ. Non-Christians see our lack of belief in ourselves. They see our lack of representation of the identity that we have been given. And just like the patient with the ER doctor who doesn't know what he's supposed to do, who doesn't believe in himself, they'll leave. They won't believe us. If we don't know who we are, others will not know who Christ is. So the problem is we question our identity. But there is a solution to that problem. And the solution is that ministry of reconciliation that we had read about in 2 Corinthians. We have to preach that ministry of reconciliation, but we have to do so at the same time fully believing in the person who Jesus has made us into. If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we go a little bit further up, verses 14 through 17. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." We are compelled, it says, by Christ's love. And it also says that we are convinced. And it also says that we are new creations. And we have to believe that. In order to be able to do what we've been called to do, we have to be able to believe that we are truly new creations. And so we must preach this to other people. We are Christ's ambassadors. If you would please turn to Colossians chapter 3. We have been freed from the bondage of sin, but we haven't been freed from those evil desires. We haven't been freed from those evil desires, but we can put those off. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." We've taken off the old self. And even though it's really hard to believe that we are new creations, once we've taken off that old self, it's gone. Because we've put something else on. We've put on the new self. And in verse 17 of chapter 3 in Colossians, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We didn't used to do that. When you were your old self, you didn't, in whatever you do, did, you didn't do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. But now that we're new, now that we're new creations, we know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we give thanks to the Father through him. And so we let go of those evil desires because they're from our old self. And in conclusion, in light of everything that we've just looked at, how does your life need to change? What do we need to change? We know, we've read, that we are new creations. We know that we are free from sin, and so now we have to do. Jesus came to this world, and he did. He was the Word, and he did things. And we need to enter next year knowing who we are, having full confidence in who Christ has made us. And we need to do what we have been called to do. We're Christ's ambassadors. We have been called to reconcile others to righteousness through the power of Jesus Christ. And when we realize that we can do that because we are free from sin, it's beautiful. We are reconciled, and we can reconcile others. And so my challenge to you is this coming year, knowing who you are, be the person that Christ has made you. Be the person that Jesus has made you into. And if you don't believe that you have been created into a new being, a new creation, you can come forward today, and you can enter the water of baptism, and you can be saved. And you can start tomorrow a new creation, and you can do what we have been called to do. And I ask you, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.